It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The invasion of Ukraine. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
In 10 minutes, we expect President Biden to address the nation on the attack. Russia has moved into Ukraine overnight through the evening. It's about what, Dave, we figured 16, 17 hours now, and there's been missile attacks. There's been deaths, as you've heard us report all morning long. And not very long ago, 45 minutes ago or so, we had Utah County Attorney David Levitt dial into the show because he served in Ukraine. He's worked a major swath of his career in that part of the world. And we asked him, is there any hope at all that Ukraine can show or stand up to Russian soldiers?
They'll be overwhelmed. I mean, you will at some point in time that the international media, I'm sure, will capture pictures of 75-year-old women with pitchforks trying to ward off Russian soldiers. I mean, but they do have an army. But you know, Russia has been planning this for years. Literally for years.
As I look at the map right now that is on every television, it shows the cities and the areas that have been attacked. And Debbie, I am looking at this, and it is an entire country just pockmarked with attacks. North, south, east, west, the entire country has been attacked through the air, jets, artillery, bombs.
Looking at that map, it feels like it would be like California, Colorado, Utah, Nebraska, you know, one of the flyover states, Florida, New York. If you want to compare what is going on right now as Russian forces attack Ukraine.
It is complete. And how long before those cities fall?
I suspect that Kharkiv, a major city in Ukraine, will fall within a matter of days. I believe that Kyiv probably will. And this is the time, you know, Ukraine's best chance for success is for the rest of the world to stand up and punish Ukraine, or punish Russia in a way that does not involve bullets.
The rest of the world punishing Russia. What does that look like? These sanctions, will they do anything? Returning to the show, Amos Giora, thank you so much for taking the time. We've been able to lean on you so much over the last several weeks as we try to process what is happening. But as we start contemplating and really thinking about Ukraine falling and perhaps within days or weeks, what does that mean if Ukraine falls and Russia installs their own government? Is it just, is Ukraine now gone and it is now Russia?
I think that's a fair question. I think that it really is, I don't know, days, weeks, maybe days seems to be pretty accurate before Ukraine falls. I mean, the overwhelming force that the Russians have
is a totally different level than the Ukrainian army. I think Mr. Levitt's point was interesting, you know, elderly people holding pitchforks. It's a pretty appropriate metaphor. No, the Ukrainian army as it is today cannot counter the Russian army. I also don't see sanctions really impacting Putin. He's locked in on this. This was planned. This is not something that happened, you know, flick of the wrist. He's clearly thought this thing through. And again, I think that the Ukraine falling shortly seems to be a pretty fair proposition. The question really is, does Putin stop there, or does he cast that wandering eye to what used to be called Eastern Europe, which is today called Central Europe, whether, you know, Poland, Slovakia, Romania, which I don't see that at all. But he is making a clear point, and I think we need to also understand. He clearly felt attacked when the West made entrees to the Ukraine, joining them in NATO, which never happened. But I think from his perspective, having NATO on the Russian border was a non-starter. And the fact that the West contemplated bringing the Ukraine into NATO, from his perspective, was something that he absolutely had to respond to. It's not the first time he's talked about this. He was ignored. I don't really think that from his perspective, he believes that the West takes him seriously. That's a problem. And I also think, I don't know if you guys want to go there, but the last 4 years of the utterly bizarre relationship between the former president and Putin only served to strengthen his hand. In parentheses, when Trump yesterday said that Putin was a genius, I have no idea where that came from, but that also emboldens Putin. You take 1 + 1 together, he also knows that Boris Johnson is talking, the Germans are talking, the French are talking, and Biden's talking. There's actually nobody standing up at all to the Russians. I don't know if the two of you know this, but I spend most of my time, when not talking to you, writing about enablers and bystanders initially in the Holocaust and today in contemporary society. The Western world at the moment is standing by as the Russian army is, pardon my English, just plowing into the Ukraine. I've said this to you, the two of you before, as someone who really is steeped in history, in part because both of my parents are Holocaust survivors, the Western world standing by and uttering those, you know, the mantras, those are bystanders and enablers. And from the perspective of the Ukrainians, they have nowhere to turn. And yeah, that is problematic both for them, for Western Europe, geopolitically. The Russians have been involved here. You know, I'm in Israel, have been involved in Syria. The Chinese are clearly looking to see how the world reacts to Russia, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. You know, I don't want to use the metaphor for the Second World War over and over, but these are potentially dark times, and it's scary when there is clearly a lack of will to truly stand up to Putin. And he's played this chess game out in his mind.
Amos Giora is a professor at the University of Utah, also served 20 years in the Israeli Defense Forces. He's an expert, clearly, in foreign affairs. And I'm watching the monitors now, Professor, and I just saw Fox News reporting that NATO has no plans to send in any forces. We're also hearing of arrests of protesters who are attempting to, like anti-war protesters in Moscow being arrested. So Lord only knows what will become of those individuals. And we see pictures, even on our own website, a KSL News Radio website, of people packing the subway, trying to seek shelter from what's expected to be bombings this evening.
And Professor, I want to go back to this point that you just made. The world is standing around and essentially becoming an enabler and a bystander. What can the world do so that we cannot be accused of that? Because that is horrific. We've already seen that play out during World War II. How do we stop that?
If we reach the conclusion that sanctions don't have any impact on Russia and diplomacy is a non-starter, then NATO, primarily led by President Biden, is going to have to articulate clearly to Putin that this is the red line in the sand, and maybe we are almost at the red line in the sand. But I don't want to consider it as a possibility, but maybe it is. Military engagement, so clearly no one wants to go there. But if we, to your point, don't want to be enablers and or bystanders, there may frankly be no alternative but to militarily stand up to Putin, which I don't think, my friend, is a possibility that anyone wants to engage in. But if the West does not yet want to once again be correctly charged as enablers, bystanders, watching an army 80 years ago, Hitler, today Putin just march, then there really may be no alternative. And I think it would also, if I made one last point, would behoove American politicians, past and present, to depoliticize and to focus on the particular conflict. I've listened to some of the people you've interviewed. They would benefit from focusing on the conflict and not engaging in cheap and easy politics, if I may.
We appreciate your time. Amos Giura, professor at the University of Utah. We appreciate your time.
Our producer is just telling me, Dave, that we still see no sign of President Biden. Do we have a visual on a podium? Is that what you guys are looking at? Or there's just no sign whatsoever of President Biden supposed to start addressing the nation about the bombings, the military action on the part of Russia in Ukraine at 10:30 our time this morning. That got bumped to 11:30 our time. And so we are so ultimately confident that the president will not take the podium in the next 5 minutes that we've asked Representative Blake Moore, Hill Air Force Base is in his district. We've asked him to call the show straight ahead, Dave.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.